Pastor Ken did a phenomenal job teaching us about the promise of joy. And when he taught us about the promise of joy, he was tested. He said that message was not birthed in, you know, his decades worth of study and leaning upon old truths that had been taught before, but that message came from the experience of the deep well of joy through the trials and tribulations of the everyday Christian life. And today, the promise that we're going to look at, the play of the week in this sermon series of Live Like a Champion, Victory Through the Promises of God, the play of the week is the promise of comfort. And in the same way that Pastor Ken learned the promise of joy by walking through difficult decisions and difficult situations, I've learned once again the promise of comfort by walking through a lot of death, doing multiple funerals, and providing pastoral care for many families who in the last 2 weeks have experienced death in their families. It's been a trying time. It's been a tiring time. But it's also been a time of wonderful fruitfulness, because God kept his promise, and God provided comfort and is still providing comfort. And so today we're going to look at the promise of comfort. And I believe that this word comes from the depths of that experience, but also, like Pastor Ken's, from years worth of study and application of God's word. The promise of comfort and the memory verse for this week is a simple one. It's from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. From Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. What a powerful promise. So often in the church, we talk about the paternal aspects of God. And it's actually very controversial to talk about the maternal aspects of God, but we're all made in the image of God, male and female. And so does it surprise us that God would be the one who inspires not only the best of fatherhood, but absolutely the best of motherhood? It should not be scandalous. It should not be a shock. That reflects more upon our cultural instance, our cultural issues, than it does upon the truths of God. God demonstrates his great love for us not only paternally, but maternally. And so today, as we look at Mother's Day, we're going to celebrate that. God promises to comfort us as a mother comforts her children. David, the great king, declared something very similar in Psalm 131, verse 2. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Listen to this. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. What a beautiful image. It makes me think of Jesus' promises for rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Come to God like a child and rest upon his bosom. May we be hid in the shadow of his wing. May we find security in his great love and in his great comfort. When I was the principal of a Christian elementary school, so the way I put myself through seminary, and I praise God back in those years when the church that I was attending not only supported my wife and I, but also gave us the opportunity to serve in the educational ministry, I learned the importance of moms. And I learned it the hard way. Because as a principal of a Christian elementary school with close to 200 students or over 200 students between the preschool and the elementary school, I had the opportunity to listen to a lot of moms. And after a few of those situations that I didn't quite know how to handle, my mentor, my ordaining pastor, pulled me inside and said, Jerry, thank God for moms, for we would all be dead without them. And so when those moms are expressing themselves to you in the fullness of their motherhood, love them and be patient with them, because you wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for that maternal instinct. And that changed my view And I never again had a problem sitting through a situation. Still to this day, I lean upon that truth that when we see a mother in her full glory, Mama Bear, Pastor Ken called it, I can say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm alive. See, God is like that. God is full of love, and he wants to protect us. He wants to hold us close, and he will defend us jealously because we are a child of love, as that song so beautifully proclaimed today. So what does it mean to comfort? I looked this up because so often when we talk about the promises of God, we'll use words that just are thrown around in our culture. And we just think we know what we're talking about, but often we don't agree even upon the basic definitions of words. So here's a biblical definition of the word comfort. To comfort means to alleviate sorrow, to relieve distress, to give emotional strength. So when the Bible says that we are comforted with the same comfort that a mother comforts her child, what that means is that mother wants to alleviate the sorrow of her child. That mother wants to relieve the distress. When a child cries and the dad wants to eat his own, the mom rescues the baby and relieves the distress of that child. I always joke around that moms and dads have different jobs. The dad will throw the baby out the second story window and the mom will run out and catch it. And the dad's like, I'm just trying to prepare that child for the real life. I want him or her to be prepared. And the mom's like, but we need to nurture and give the baby a sense of well-being and safety. And God made us that way. God made us to complement one another and to work together. And I believe that both of those instincts come from God. And because we are part of a broken creation, they need to be tempered by the Holy Spirit. So sometimes even the best of our maternal instincts need to be submitted to and tempered by the work of the Spirit. Sometimes the best of our paternal instincts need to be tempered and shaped by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And so all of us need to let the Holy Spirit work in us to refine us into the image of God. So let's be clear, to comfort someone is an activity of love between two people. To comfort someone is the activity of love between one person and another. And I want you to hang on to this definition and that understanding of comfort, because while this is a divine promise of God, this is a promise of God, this is from heaven to earth, it is a promise that God had to incarnate. That means incarnate is a biblical word. It means God, who is spirit, took on flesh and dwelt among us. In order for God to fulfill Isaiah 66, verse 13, he had to incarnate himself. And do you know when he did that? On Christmas. When baby Jesus was born through the womb of a virgin teenager girl, a mom. You see, for God to fulfill his promise to comfort us, he has to come to us. Just like a mom goes to her baby in the middle of the night and picks up that child and alleviates the distress of that child. And that's what God did to us. At a time when creation was dark and the world was in chaos, God entered into the world to fill the world with his love and to take his creation unto himself and say, I love you. I love you, and I'm going to relieve your distress. I'm going to bring nurture and care to you. And he did that on the cross of Calvary. And that's the heartbeat of this truth. And then the second heartbeat of this truth we're going to look at is how then, upon acceptance and putting your faith in Jesus Christ, he fills you with the Comforter, the Helper, his Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, so that he can continue to incarnate his comfort to other people. And that's the outline for today's message. That's what we're going to look at, how his comfort had to incarnate through his son Jesus Christ, and how his comfort continues to put on flesh through the work of the Spirit in us and through us to others. And the prime example of this is found in motherhood. The love of a mother is great, and we celebrate such a love on this day, Mother's Day. So as we go into the message, let us start with a blessing over all women. For today, I not only want to bless all the moms I also want to comfort those women who wanted to be moms. I also want to comfort and fill with grace those women who are trying to be moms right now. I want to call forth spiritual motherhood, because motherhood is not just a biological function, it's a Titus 2 call. It's a call upon all women to mentor, disciple, and build up younger women. It's also a call to adoption and foster care. And I also want to grieve, for in our midst today, we have those who are grieving the loss of a mom. And today, we have multiple families in the worship center, and I know there's more families online watching right now who are grieving the loss of a mom. And for some of them, this is the first Mother's Day that they don't have their mom with them. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you who incarnate God's comfort and love, come into this place now and comfort those who grieve the loss of a mom, for those who wish their mom was still there with them. But we also pray with those people who struggle because their moms were not present to them, or maybe weren't the best moms. Heal their wounds. Lord, we pray for all women that they will hear the call to spiritual motherhood, to mentor, to adopt, to take on, whether it's a child or a young adult, to carry the burden of loving another. And Lord, we pray for the women in our congregation who are trying to conceive. Give them grace on this journey of infertility. Open up their wombs and give them fertility, Lord. We speak fertility over these women. And oh, Father God, we now ask, Lord, for those women who've always wanted to be a mom, were not able to. We pray for a deep comfort of your Holy Spirit to be upon them, that they trust your sovereign will and know that you love them and have given them a unique call. Oh, Father, we pray blessings over all the women, and we thank you for our moms and for those who are moms in our midst. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So while we could spend the whole service focusing on that, I now want to enter into this teaching about God's promise of comfort. In Isaiah 49, verses 15 to 16, God says, now get this, we just talked about how the love of a mother comes from God, but God is clear, though, that his love and his character is greater than any attribute, anything we can see in a human. So in Isaiah 49, verse 15, God says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you." So God is asking a rhetorical question there. And we're saying, well, absolutely. You know, we see all the time horror stories of when children are abandoned, when they're not cared for properly. But God says, even though women may forget their children, I will not forget you. Behold, what does he say? I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. So I just did a funeral service for Donna Jarvis, and that's one of the families who's grieving the loss of a mom on this first Mother's Day. And my message for Donna's service was, in his hands. In his hands. So if you ever have a waiter or waitress who's tatted out, and maybe has, you see a lot of men and women now with the names of their children tattooed, here's a great evangelistic tool. You can say to that person, hey, what are those names on your arm or your neck or wherever they may be visible to you? Say, hey, who are those people? And they tell you, oh, that's my child, or that's someone who was dear to me and passed away. And then you can say, hey, did you know that God loves you so much that he has you tattooed on the palm of his hand? He has your name tattooed on the palm of his hand? Because it says it right here, that I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Can you? Isn't that a beautiful evangelistic bridge right there? And you can use that regardless of your personal preferences, because we're always looking for ways to connect with people. Always looking for ways to connect with people. Because God loves us so much that he would have your footprints tattooed on his shoulder with your name inscribed and the date of your birth, just like we see so many moms today do. God loves us that much. Now, I hope it's not lost on you, especially for some of our members who have studied the book of Isaiah. I hope it's not lost on you that Isaiah, who is the prophet of God, who is used by God to clearly communicate the coming Messiah. We call Isaiah the Prince of Prophets. And I did a whole sermon series once on the Prince of Prophets points to the Prince of Peace, because there's so much messianic prophecy in the book of Isaiah. I hope you don't miss the fact that God used Isaiah to not only proclaim the coming of the Messiah, but he also was the one who so convincingly taught us about the comfort of God. And I think that's intentional. Let's listen to two more passages from Isaiah. Isaiah 12, verses 1 to 2 says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me. Okay, listen to this. How many of us have ever had a parent angry with us? Isaiah says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away. Did you hear that? And in Jesus Christ, his anger has been turned away. Okay, so remember, this was written in the old covenant. Okay, Jesus fulfills this to us. But listen to this promise. Your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. There is a connection here between the coming of the Messiah, the promise of salvation, and the promise of comfort. How does God comfort his people? How does Jesus Christ fulfill the promises of Isaiah? Okay, let's check this out. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. This section I'm about to read to you has been used for thousands of years by the church. This passage has been used by so many famous Christians, so many faithful people to find comfort in God. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 3. Comfort, oh comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Do you hear the combination of the promises for comfort, for salvation, and the coming of Jesus Christ? How does God fulfill his promise to us for comfort? I'll tell you how. He incarnates it. He puts flesh on it so it can be felt and experienced. It's not some high-in-the-sky conversation that theoretically God comforts me when I'm brokenhearted. No, God has literally come close to us, come close to the brokenhearted. Listen to Jesus. We're in the New Testament now, John chapter 16. Hallelujah. Listen to Jesus. Chapter 16, verses 20 to 22. I love that the whole Bible is one story about one God who is faithful to keep his promises. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, one God, one faith, one baptism. Here we go. John 16, the words of Jesus. Remember the word that I said to you. Here we go. Sorry, wrong chapter. Chapter 16, verses 20 to 22. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament. Okay, did you hear that? You will weep and lament. There is grief. The Christian life is not a stress-free life. You're still living in a world with hardship in it. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman, here's another Mother's Day connection for us. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one, do you hear this? No one will take your joy away from you. What a comforting promise. What a comforting promise that connects Pastor Ken's sermon on the promise of joy in today's sermon on the promise of comfort. Because even when you're grieving, even when you're going through hardship, even when your heart's broken right now, God promises that I will comfort you. God promises that I'll make your joy full. Now, how does he do this? I think he does it through you and through me. He does this not only through the incarnation of his son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation he's given us. Thank you, Jesus, for the eternal life you've given us. He also does it through the church, through people. Turn with me to Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. I told my Sunday school class this morning that if it wasn't Mother's Day, this would have been the scripture for today. But because I wanted to make that connection with this cultural day, we've made these wonderful connections that have been so profound and so important. But this scripture right here is a play you can live by. This is a promise you can apply every day of your life. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. You hear it? He's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers in our comfort. This is an absolutely essential scripture to know if you're going to bring comfort to other people. It's powerful. It means there is absolutely no experience in your life that's wasted. There's no suffering you go through that is wasted. There's no hardship you go through that is wasted. Everything, every part of your life can be redeemed by God. Every experience you've had can be used by God to bring hope and comfort to someone else. You may say, my old life is junk. And I'd say, no, your old life is filled with bridges to help other people experience the love of Jesus. You may want to forget that happened to you, but you know, when someone's crying and they're coming to the altar and you find out that that person is going through something you went through 20 years ago, you may not know exactly what they're going through, but you can comfort them with the same comfort that God comforted you when you went through that. You've had a miscarriage, and that's heartbreaking. How do you allow God to heal you to such a way that you can now use that wound to help a young woman going through that experience? There are so many examples. So many examples of this truth. And this is how we're going to practice the promise every day. This is how we're going to run the play. The promise of comfort, like all the promises, is found in Jesus Christ. For all the promises of God are ours in Christ Jesus. And when we say amen to that, you know what we're saying? We're saying, not only do I agree to that, but I want to be a part of it. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he asked this question. Jesus says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? You see, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're putting your faith that God is fulfilling all the promises, like the one we saw in Isaiah 40, comfort, oh, comfort my people. And when you're saying, yes, Jesus, I believe that you are the resurrection and the life, and I am a new creation in you, and I am being transformed by the renewing of my mind because I am now your ambassador. I am now representing you. I am now a minister of your gospel, a reconciler, an image bearer. What you're saying when you put your faith in Jesus is, I am willing now to participate in your purposes and your plans in this world as a redeemed image bearer of God. And you know what redeemed image bearers of God do? They do what God does. You know what God does? He comforts people. He doesn't condemn people. In fact, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He brings you to that person to use parts of your story to build a bridge to that person and say, I want to bring God's love and comfort to you. The world will ridicule them enough. We bring comfort. We bring peace. We bring resurrection. We can be comforted because he lives. Because he lives, you can face tomorrow. Do you believe it? Because he lives, all fear is gone. Do you believe it? Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And that's the promise of Easter. He is risen. He is risen. I am the resurrection and the life. You carry the hope and the joy of death being defeated. You bring comfort when the world only has despair. You take the ashes and you bring beauty. Only we can do that, because that is the gift of the Holy Spirit in us. That is the work of God in us. You see, comfort comes from believing the story. And this is the best story ever told, and it's a true one. And every other story finds its heartbeat in this story. It's the story of God so loving the world that he gave his one and only son, so that if you believe in him, do you believe this? So that if you believe in him, you will not perish. You will have everlasting life. Because Jesus Christ did not come to the world in order to John 3, verse 17. Jesus Christ, let's read this. Ready? Somebody might not believe me if I don't read this from the scripture. Someone may think, no, that's not the gospel I was taught. Because some of us have this moralistic view of Christianity that says we're better than everyone else. And that's not it, church. Listen to this. John 3:17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Church, your job is not to judge the world. Your job is to work in partnership with his divine glory to save the world. And how do you do that? By bringing comfort. Your job is not to be a doomsdayer. Leave that to the politicians. Your job is to be a hope bearer. Church, that's your job, that's your calling, that's who you are. If you believe that Jesus is the resurrection life, if you believe that God loves you like a father and like a mother, if you believe that he is willing to give his son for you, then your life is filled with the comfort and the hope and the joy and the peace and the love of God. And when you say, yes, I believe in him, then you're also saying, yes, I believe in his purpose. And you did not come to judge. You did not put on the name of Christian to become the judge of your neighbor. You put on the name of Christian to become the lover of your neighbor. That's how you bring comfort. The promise of comfort is so important in the lives of God's people, because we too will face death and disease. We too will face the darkness and despair. We too will face disappointment in this life and defeat at the hands of our enemies. Yes, it is true. Because the sun will rise on all of us and it will rain on all of us, as we know. We need comfort when the scoreboard of life makes it look like we're losing. And you know, when the scoreboard looks horrible, remember, that's not the score at the end of the game. You keep playing like a champion, and the play of the week is to bring comfort. You comfort, even when you feel like, well, why isn't someone comforting me? Yes. Yes, there are seasons where we need comfort. But friends, no matter what season you're in, you can always comfort someone else. It's never out of season to comfort another person. Like I said in one of my weekly devotions, prayer is not a pity party, nor is prayer a pep talk. Prayer is divine communication with the God of the heavens and the earth. And prayer is not to change God's heart. Prayer changes your heart. And so when you pray and ask God to comfort you, you know what he's going to do? He's going to send you to comfort someone else. Because that's the greatest medicine to your soul when you're hurting. Because grief and suffering cause us to become self-centered. And the victory to that is the cross. For I've been crucified with Christ Jesus, and I no longer live. But the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. These are the promises of God. When we understand how God incarnated himself towards us, we then have the ability to live like a champion and to play according to the promises of God. The promise of God's comfort is found in the promise of the presence of God. How does God bring comfort? Through his presence. That's why his Son came, to bring his presence to the world. And that's why the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit upon us, so that God would dwell in us. We are the comforters. Listen to Jesus' words in John 14, Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 26 to 27. And this is Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit. And in some translations, the word helper is translated comforter. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Do you remember the definition of comfort? Comfort means to alleviate sorrow, to relieve distress, to give emotional strength to. Do you know one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to not only make you holy with God, but to make you whole as a person? And did you know a mark of spiritual maturity is emotional maturity and relational health? And if you're struggling with emotional maturity or relational health, then that's an invitation for you to invite the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, the paraclete, to come in and to heal you and to give you his peace so that you can then relate to people in emotionally healthy ways. Because he's healed you, he's comforted you. So now you don't have to feel insecure. You don't have to feel defensive. And I've struggled with that for years, but the Lord has been doing a work in me so that I can be more of a comforter to people. Because the security we have in Christ allows us to provide security for others. And the healing he provides in our life allows us to heal others. He's the one doing all the work. We're the vessel of glory that he's chosen to do it by hiding that treasure in these jars of clay. The Holy Spirit ministers the comfort of God in us and through us by mediating the presence of God in the world through his church. And you are the church. You are the church. You are the priesthood. You're the ones who mediate the presence of God. You're the temples of the Holy Spirit, offering right sacrifices pleasing unto him. We are now the ones who are to bring God's comfort to the world. And this is the practice of the promise. Here are some examples of how you can start doing this today. Applications. Ready? God reached from heaven to earth through the incarnation of Jesus Christ to comfort you. Now you pick up the phone or send a card to comfort another person. Jesus came from heaven to earth to comfort you. Now text someone. Send a card. Pick up a phone. That's an application of this message. Okay, here's a second application. Jesus died on the cross to comfort you. Now make a meal for someone. Deliver it. That will comfort them. Okay, here's a third application. Jesus defeated death in the resurrection to comfort you. Now show up and visit someone in their home or the nursing home or in the funeral home to comfort them. Here's a fourth application. Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father and is coming again to comfort us. Now leave the comfort of your own home to help your neighbor, to help out your family, to help out a friend, to help out a fellow church member in need. Maybe you just need to help lift that 40-pound bag of water softener salt and pour it in there because it's too heavy for a widow to do. And then here's the last application, the fifth one for today. The Holy Spirit comforts you as your constant companion. Now you use words that comfort the clerks in stores, the waitresses and waiters in restaurants, and those people you interact with at schools and in the workplace. You see, it's not hard. Jesus did all the hard lifting. All the heavy lifting has been done for us. And now in response to all the heavy lifting that God has done for us, this is what we can do for others. And so as you prepare now to leave this service, we're going to have a song of response so that the worship team could come up. You're going to leave today being reminded that you're a child of love, that you are to comfort others as Jesus first comforted you. And no matter what you've been through, the same comfort that God comforted you, you can now provide that comfort to others. That's the heartbeat of this message. And that comfort means person on person, whether it's through the phone, through an instant message, through a positive Facebook post or Instagram post. Be positive, be faithful. People are always watching you. You're always an ambassador for Christ. You never get a day off from being an ambassador of Jesus. It only takes one message to blow that. Paul used the image of a mother to help us understand the work of ministry. And this is not just for your pastor or the elders. This is for all of us. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 8, just hear these words. We prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart. There's the key word, impartation. Manifestation of the work of the Spirit in you, imparting, giving the same comfort to others that you first received. So having so fond an affection for you, like a mother nursing her child, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. This is the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ through men and women. Regardless of your biology, whether you've had a child or not, paternally or maternally, we are to hear of the maternal love of God, realize that it was incarnated for us through Jesus Christ and given to us through the Holy Spirit, and now we are to give that. We are to extend to one another the same nurture and love, the same compassion and mercy, the same gentleness and grace as a mother to her child. We are to do for others what the three persons of the Trinity have done for us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the love that God first gave us, and this is the love that will transform the world. We are children of God, children of love. So, Father, we thank you that you have parented us, made in your image, redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ, filled with your Holy Spirit. We are child of love so that we may bring the comfort of Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, to all people, no matter the darkness and despair in their life. Oh, Lord Jesus, fill your church now. And may we arise from our seats during this song to testify of who we are so that we may go live out our destiny. In Jesus' name, amen.